on KYRS, Mineral Lake, Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3. Good afternoon. You're listening to Praxis on KYRS Thin Air Community Radio. I'm your host, Taylor, and before I introduce our guest today, just to remind you that Praxis receives support from the Smith Barbieri Progressive Fund, a charitable foundation. Information at smith-barbieri.com. And I am excited to be live in the studio with someone who you've heard on the show before, talking about anti-war, talking about other organizing issues in town, but now, for the first time as a candidate, Shar Lichty is running for mayor, and I'm here with her to talk about that. So,
good afternoon, everyone. Thank you.
Welcome back. Do you want to just start by introducing yourself and talking about kind of the journey to from where you've been to why, what made you want to run? And run for mayor specifically here in Spokane?
So I've been doing organizing for a local nonprofit for almost 6 years now. And during that time, I've met, talked to, organized with, trained, been civically engaged with thousands of folks in the community in Eastern Washington and even statewide on various issues. And what I found, and I love that work, and I love working because I love working with the people and helping them become engaged politically to create positive policy change on issues that affect them personally. But what I found is a kind of a frustration with the political system all across the country where we don't have true representation of the people, for the people, and by the people in elected office. And including, you know, to a degree we have that here in Spokane, but one place we do not have that in Spokane is the mayor's office. So I've known that I was going to move from what I call the outside game of organizing to the inside game of holding political office for a couple of years. And so I've just been getting ready to go and do the inside game and see how, play the other end of creating positive change that benefits all of the people. Or the majority, the 99%, if you want to take that tagline, which really is it. It's 99% of the people have the same concerns, the same troubles, the same barriers, some more than others, but basically the same, and we're not being represented.
How does that play out? I mean, obviously, and we talk a lot on the show, and I think more and more just in society about the way that plays out, the way corporate control, really concentrated wealth, has pretty much rendered the federal level system pretty far gone. As far as access. How far down in your perception does that trickle, and how do those dynamics play out on a local level?
Certainly saturated at the federal level, and then there are degrees of it at the state. You can kind of look at, see who's donating to whose campaign, and then follow how their voting record goes and see how they're kind of coincide. I think that's certainly happened with the current mayor as well. Things that benefit the top, the wealthiest folks in this in the city. And a very top-heavy, top-level approach to even the city employees and the staffing there.
How so?
A lot of really top-heavy administrative positions, getting salaries and, or you know, increased salaries and cutting jobs at the bottom. When you know, I learned early on in life that any business is only as successful as the workers. The people who make that business run well every day, and you take good care of them, keeps morale up, keeps productivity up. That government is a business, you know. It may not be a for-profit business, but it's a business. You run it the same way. You have to take care of all of the folks working for you. They're the key to, they're the ones that the community interacts with when they're coming in to pay their bills or mm-hmm. whatever, or they're calling about questions on this. They're the ones that small businesses are working with when they're planning developments. They're the ones, you know, they're the ones, they're the face of Spokane. So in everyday life.
Yeah.
Aside from the political engagement part.
Mm-hmm. And who are doing all the things that then get bragged about too, right? Doing yes. all the keeping the parks.
Yeah.
Looking they like keep, there's
they
a
keep
whole
the parks clean.
Range of things yeah. like that.
They sweep the streets. They pick up our garbage. You know, so many things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The fire department, the police department.
Yeah. So where, what was there a moment where you made that shift and decided, you said for a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
Was there like one moment when you decided that you wanted to make that switch and try to
I don't know
be the person
if there's
on the inside?
One moment.
Yeah. Maybe
but
there never
I know
is.
It's been
but
a couple. Yeah. There wasn't like an aha and an awakening, so to speak, and say, oh, you need to run for office. In fact, I have a really close friend who's been telling me for a number of years, well, when you're elected, you know, and no specific position, just when you're elected, da 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 da, you know. And I was kept saying, no, no, no. And then I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's, I'm a little bit of a political nerd. I kind of enjoy it.
Yeah.
Even the, I don't enjoy the toxicity that exists in some levels and to some degrees, but I do enjoy policy and politics.
Mm-hmm. And that takes, I don't always enjoy all of it. I nerd yeah. more out on the results, but actual policy and crafting policy, I think people, a lot of people don't realize what goes into that work yeah,
right.
until they do organizing work, actually, I think, and start to try to fight a lot of bad policy, unfortunately, a lot of the times is what ends up happening, and then get into that world.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of places taking a preemptive approach and trying to draft good policy
mm-hmm.
the way that corporations are allowed to at the top level, right? Just draft their own policy and say, here,
right.
why don't you use this? There's some good examples of that, too. And I think at the city level, that's possible.
Yeah.
So what are, as you're running, what are the main, I feel like we always come back to a handful of issues in Spokane
mm-hmm.
that never really get resolved, but I'm curious, I don't want to poison the well with what I think they are. What are your main, what's your vision for Spokane? Like what, why do you want to do this?
I want a safe and prosperous community for all, because we all do better when we all do better. I want to build up a local, robust economy, and I see that happening through supporting small business, small local mm-hmm. business. We also need to create good quality living wage jobs to retain our youth here in Spokane. I've had the opportunity to work with some amazing youth over the last few years, and plus I have amazing children who live in the area, and you know, Spokane has a lot of youth that either after high school or after college move away because they can't make a living here. And we need to retain some of those youth here because it adds vibrancy to Spokane. It's our future. I don't want my kids moving away. I'm sure other parents feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we have these great universities and we're graduating, you know, students from there. And then they're moving away because they can't find a job here. Either there's not job, there aren't enough jobs in the field that their degree is in, or they're not paying enough mm-hmm. for them to pay off their student loans and survive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a main focus. People have, well, I don't know. So that's, I think that a lot of people would probably be eager to characterize you. Is the word progressive a good word?
Yes, I like the word progressive. I do not like the word liberal.
Yes, I would agree with you. Why is that?
Because progressive is forward thinking. Liberal has been hijacked and used in such negative connotations, and even for those who, not that I'm opposed to, I just don't, it doesn't fit for me. Progressive, forward thinking, like even my on fiscal matters, I see myself as fiscally responsible. And there's a difference between fiscally responsible and fiscally conservative in my world, in my definition of those two things, where fiscal conservatives will make line item cuts on a budget to balance a budget or to make cuts. Fiscally responsible is you're looking forward and you're supporting investing in things that save us money down the road. Mm-hmm. Instead of where you make a line item cut on a budget, not even looking forward to how that's going to cost you 8 to 16 times more in the future. And who's going to pay for that? Our kids mm-hmm. and our grandkids. Yeah. And our community is, you know, a lot of the things that save you money in the front end also make your community healthier and safer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How much, I'm realizing more and more that what proportion of the work politically of an office like mayor, a higher level political office, is just about managing the money and choosing where it goes. I mean, that really is a great deal of it.
It is a great deal. I mean, the budget, mm-hmm. you know, which then does go to council, and then there may be some negotiation back and mm-hmm. forth, or, you know, how much cooperative negotiation depends mm-hmm. on the makeup of both. So there's some work, but it's a big job.
Yeah.
But there's also overseeing, you know, everything that goes on in the city mm-hmm. every day.
No big deal, right?
Well, you know,
it's a lot.
It is a lot of responsibility, and it is a lot of work. But you also make sure you have qualified key people who you can trust mm-hmm. that are working with you. Mm-hmm. It takes good leadership.
Yeah.
Something that's been lacking the last 3+ years.
Yeah. And I don't know if you, I don't know, obviously part of running against an incumbent, which mm-hmm. you are, he's your only main opponent in the race.
Right.
Correct.
Michael Noder's running, but okay. he's not raising money and he's not doing any real campaigning that I know of.
Okay. So, yeah. And so obviously part of campaigning is partially about, I know you're not a mudslinger, but it's partially campaigning against, especially with an incumbent, the record that's there.
Yeah.
It's more, I think that you're putting forward a more positive vision in terms of this is what I'm for. But you mentioned here on your list, bringing transparency and accessibility to the office. Mm-hmm. What are some ways that's been lacking, and what does that mean? Why is that important to you?
Well, I know I've always, you know, regardless of who's mayor, I don't think that the legislative body should be the only access the community has, you know, coming and testifying at city council meetings to their city leaders, that there should be some accessibility. There's a great town, what is it called? Edina, Minnesota, I think. They have a great website platform that's very interactive, where the community members can input. And the website that Spokane has is to a degree that, and would take very little to change that to be more accessible, where there are discussion rooms, there mm. are places where community members can ask questions that get addressed in a timely fashion. I've heard from voters a lot of frustration trying to make renovations to homes that they've bought and they want to restore them, and they're mm-hmm. calling planning and planning doesn't have the answer, and they tell them to call building and building doesn't have the answer, and they're not talking, those departments aren't talking to each other. Mm-hmm. So there's got to be some ways to streamline and make the city work better for the public and for the city workers as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll be looking at ways to do that. More transparency. You know, the latest was the Waltworthy, where city council's not. So if the mayor's office is doing something that the city council isn't even aware of, then the public's not going to become aware of it at mm-hmm. all. When the city council has to address an issue, approve a contract, that's my big thing. You can call it a backdoor deal or not call it a backdoor deal, but there's no contract. And, you know, I learned in one of my very first jobs running a contracts department for a water district, municipal water district, you always have a contract. It protects the developer or the contractor, and it protects the city or the water district, it protects all parties. So if there's not a contract, which would have had to go to city council, then what do you want to call it besides a backdoor deal and lack of transparency?
Well, yeah. And it really reinforces, you know, I hear a lot of people say, oh, there's no There's no old boys club. There's no inner circle kind of political dealing in Spokane. And it's in cases like that when it's like, well,
yeah,
yes, I don't think I could pitch a big project even as, you know, a new developer to town or something and not have a contract.
Right. So, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And back, like the mudslinging comment, you know, I don't, when you have an incumbent, so my approach is I want to present myself and what I think is a positive change for Spokane, but I will also hold Condon accountable, and that should be done always. And it doesn't need to be done in a negative personal attack because that's uncalled for, or a fully negative focused campaign because I don't think that's good either. Mm-hmm. But incumbents need to be held accountable for their voting records or their actions, their policy, everything they've done. They need to be held accountable, especially if your approach is something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't really see it as negative campaign or mudslinging so much as accountability.
Okay. Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense. That was really what I was looking for there. Because you have to bring it up. You have to bring up the record. And
right. Because otherwise, what am I mean, saying? I'm going to do different, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's when you say supporting workers' rights on here and working families. I mean, you talked about within the city structure. That's obviously where you would prospectively have the most direct control.
Yes.
But with initiatives like, I mean, is something for you like raising minimum wage citywide, like has been explored in Seattle? Is that something that would be on the table for you?
Yes, I would support
paid
that.
Paid sick leave.
Yeah.
These campaigns that are going on currently.
Yeah. I support paid sick and safe leave. I've gone on record supporting Envision's workers' rights. Like how the focus is on workers' rights. It's good. Gone on the record of supporting, what is it, I-735? I can't remember the name. Anyways, it's the Washington WAMEND.
To amend the Constitution. To not. Yes, it
yes,
is.
Yes, I support that.
It is I-735.
And even though the mayor may not have direct influence or on all of the like labor or unions, that doesn't mean that the mayor cannot come out in support of workers. I've been out on many strike lines. I was out on the teachers' walkout. I was out every week during Wisconsin Solidarity. I'm not going to just stop being an activist and advocating for things, even if those things are not things I can directly do. I will still stand in support of things.
Yeah. And like I think that's been really important. I think of, and I don't know what your feeling is here, but I feel that Ben Stucker, you know, has been an example of that, a city council president, obviously someone from a progressive background who has still been pretty vocal about causes that he's not directly involved in and out there. And for someone like me, who is pretty cynical, as you know, if you're a listener to the show, as you know, personally, pretty cynical about the political process as it exists now and all of that. I think people doing that and people showing, not trying to appear, without opinion and without passion, and just kind of be this invisible, but important presence, who makes decisions, but, in kind of a vacuum of participating with the city. It's, it's a lot more attractive to me to see people who are clearly real people who are clearly out there engaging when there's no cameras around.
Connected,
you know,
to the community that they serve. Yeah. And even if something's not in your direct jurisdiction or under your jurisdiction, you're still, as an elected city official, you're responsible to all of the residents in your city. And if things aren't in your jurisdiction, you can still use your political power and energy, so to speak, to advocate for things with state leaders, and federal leaders, if things are, you know, and you can certainly show up and show your support for the things that they're working on.
Yeah. And that is going to bring me in a second to a question kind of hypothetical, but also I'm interested to hear your take on it. But I should remind listeners, as our time is just kind of zinging by, that you're listening to Praxis on KYRS, Thin Air Community Radio, talking with Shar Lichty, running against incumbent David Condon for mayor of Spokane. Yes, and talking about her position on that. Endorsed by, I'm actually going to come back to that because I don't want to lose the thread in my mind. You were talking about advocating on state and federal, on the state and federal level, and there's a lot of movement related somewhat to Envision Spokane, mm-hmm. who's pared down their vision to this workers' rights mm-hmm. bill right now, that is really interesting and would be a really good step for people who are workers and could
working
use some
families.
Frontline yep. assistance. Pretty much a lot of people listening, I'd imagine, and most of Spokane. There's a really interesting trend along those lines of cities really claiming their authority mm-hmm. to break with, because the city level is more accessible for truly progressive people, because the money isn't so competitive. You know, you don't need billions to run a mayoral campaign in a city like Spokane.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, right? Because I don't think, yeah, you'd. I know you have a lot of support, but the B word mm-hmm. requires corporate connections and big connections. And because of that, I think that a lot of cities have been really strategic in the last 10 or 15 years and seized a lot of power. And we see individual cities mm-hmm. banning fracking, for instance.
Right.
Individual cities, I can see Spokane, with the right leadership, being really pivotal on an issue like coal and coal trains.
Yeah.
And your smile suggests mm-hmm. that you have an opinion on the coal trains.
Yes, I do.
And I'd imagine you don't want to see them rolling through town. So, and in Spokane's structure, we have this strong mayor structure. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of potential for that. Is that kind of framework appealing to you? And do you think it's a good strategy, just from an organizing perspective, of cities even sometimes breaking with federal and state law to do things like that?
Yeah, I think that, yeah, considering that when it's in the best interest of the city, absolutely. You have to consider all the aspects of it. Same with creating policy. You know, some policies are created with very good intentions, and they may be a benefit in the beginning. And then, you know, if they don't have sunset, you know, like tax loopholes that don't have sunset dates and aren't reviewed even. And then it comes out that they're actually a hindrance to the economy and to the community, things like that. So you need to look at all the possible outcomes of policy. And you, same thing here. You would need to look at all the possible, mm-hmm. What would happen. But absolutely, on things that are really critical to the city should lead on them, and regardless of what the state or the federal.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you think that you'd find, obviously your base is progressive, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word, and I do like that word. It's interesting to me, I don't know why I didn't already know this, but that you're endorsed by both the Democrats and the Green Party.
Yes.
Let's talk about that for a minute. What does that mean? Because I find that interesting, also hearing a lot of what you're saying about fiscal responsibility, mm-hmm. about autonomy as mm-hmm. a city right now.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of that probably, if they didn't know that this list existed, a lot of maybe more like
libertarian
minded.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you wanted me to put the word there.
No, libertarian.
Would like that transparency.
And I would say not the fringe of the Tea Party, but most Tea Party, like in its origins,
mm-hmm.
Before it got co-opted by the Koch brothers. So to just put it out there,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think that they probably would identify with me. I identify as a progressive and I identify as an independent. I share values. I'm kind of at the intersection of where some of the, I don't like the party system, period.
Mm-hmm.
It creates a lot of issues. So I really enjoy running in a nonpartisan seat.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the Dems and I love being endorsed by the Dems. I love the Green Party, you know, and I certainly have a lot in common with libertarians and some of the Tea Party folk as well. And probably some Republicans, mainstream Republicans as well.
Do you think that the So is mayor, city council positions are also nonpartisan.
Correct.
Correct. Uh-huh. You wouldn't know from the way that the city council is spoken of, I think, in the media sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
And the way it's really, people really watch the balance of it and kind of draw a line of where people sit there. And I think it is pretty visible a lot of times where those splits are. But Do you think that does make a difference, having it be a nonpartisan race? Or do you think people are still looking for the letter next to your name because that's what people are used to culturally?
I think a little of both. I personally prefer it being a nonpartisan. Of course, I'd like to see publicly funded campaigns and everybody played on the same field, same level. And I'd like to see, you know, I'm also a dreamer and would like to see no party affiliation on any elections, and that people campaign on the issues and values solely, and voters chose their candidate by looking at which one best represented their issues and their values.
Yeah, wouldn't that be?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice? You'd have to read a little more, but it would be.
Yeah, but that's a good thing.
So worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what else was I going to ask you? It was about that. You're the other lady. I just thought that quote was so
that
funny.
Quote, first of all, don't call me a lady. I'm a woman. And hear me roar.
Hear, hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
FYS is up next, by the way.
Some women may be okay with being called a lady. I am not one of those. Mm-hmm. I'm a woman. And I don't know how I could be the other one because I'm running against two male opponents. So...
yeah, I just saw that and I thought that I don't know, kind of shows an underestimation, I think, of how people are really frustrated with the status quo.
And I think the next time Shogun was in the press was when he testified in front of city council, and he was actually using some of my language. So yeah,
very strange.
Yeah, so yeah. I guess he figured out who I was. It's not that I didn't testify in front of city council when he was council president either. Yeah. So yeah, there's that.
There were just so many, but yeah. Do you think that? Well, I don't know if you want to go there, but I personally think that's important. You know, shifting the balance, kind of providing a balance to historically male. Power structures as women. Is that part of your desire?
I'm a strong woman. I'm a strong woman leader in leadership roles. And I'm going to own that. And I'm going to embrace that. And I love working with other strong women. And there's really nothing we can't do, contrary to what Mike Fagan may think.
That was hopefully that. Yeah. PR disaster that plays out. I don't know. Actually, I don't know what I can say. Yeah. I have to be careful with what I.
My father's always told me I could do anything that I set my mind to and applied myself to. So.
Well, good.
That's not gender specific.
You internalized it.
I internalized it. Yeah.
Good. And this seems like, okay, and I know this question comes up a lot and it seems petty, but now that I'm both driving and biking again instead of walking. Mm. I see on your list roads and infrastructure.
Yes.
Why, by your analysis, can no one get that right here in Spokane?
That's a good question.
I've lived here my whole life. And the roads and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some of the roads, I don't think they get improved upon at all, ever, in the whole time I've lived downtown. Sunset Hill's a mess. TJ Minnick and Fort George Wright is a mess. I mean, some major roads that are driven, and I don't
second
really see a lot
third.
Of second and third are a mess. You know, only the ones that have been recently redone and they've put in the complete street stuff with bike lanes. It's not bicycle friendly, and downtown's not pedestrian friendly. And I have a lot of friends who. That are in wheelchairs and they can't travel around downtown without going into the lanes of traffic because the sidewalks, you know, are not suitable for that.
The slopes point out into traffic.
And I know there are plans that, you know, on new street projects to do the complete streets and stuff. There's got to be a way to get some of it done before then. Besides spending a bunch of money at, you know, traffic medians, you know, or the little, is that what they're called? You know, like here at the Division Street exit, the entrance to Spokane,
oh,
like it's
the
only
gateway.
One. That yeah, at the, you know, in the little islands, the traffic islands. I don't know what $600,000 to improve that. I don't know what they're going to put in there for that much money. There are other things that that money could go to.
$600,000?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's insane.
To beautify it. Yeah.
Huh. Hmm. That seems like a strange prioritization.
But I do like the bridge connecting the U District to East Sprague. I like that because that creates neighborhood revitalization.
Mm-hmm.
And those projects, we've seen some of those projects have great success here in Spokane, neighborhood projects for redeveloping them, boosting them up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think some of the best strategies are to continue that? While not, while kind of trying to skirt around, I think Spokane's become more of a destination. I meet people in my service job every day who are scouting out Spokane to move here, who are either, they probably wouldn't call themselves climate refugees, but a whole lot of climate refugees from California and other states that are experiencing extreme weather.
Right.
And also just people who have seen the quality of life to cost of living ratio, young families who say, wow.
Right.
What's your vision for neighborhoods continuing some of the momentum without getting overrun by gentrification and the other problems that come?
Well, you need to listen to those neighborhood councils and the people that live in those neighborhoods and what will work, what they want, their vision. They need to be, everybody who's involved needs to be brought to the table. People who are looking to put business there, especially local small business, and bring the developers to the table, you know, and what's the commons and corridors.
Centers and corridors.
Centers and corridors.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also called commons and, actually.
Yeah, it has the same general meaning, but I know what it means, and I know where to find it in the city charter and stuff. Anyways, you know, it's great with the, like, transition zones.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, like, the area for the small local businesses and it transitions to from multi-family dwellings and then on into the single family. I know up in North Indian Trails neighborhood, they have an apartment complex that's going in or just went in up there. And it's a three-story apartment complex, and it's 10 feet from a private residence, single-family home. And that's... that shouldn't have happened. If there should have been leadership to make sure that the planning went properly and there were those transition zones that went in to protect our neighborhoods. We need to not just have thriving neighborhoods, we need to protect them with our leadership at the city. But also, you know, I lived downtown for 4 years and I've worked downtown for six, and I love downtown, and we need to build up some good, dense urban core down here, figure out how to get people more pedestrian and shopping all over downtown. How do we make that happen? How do we make it more bike friendly, more pedestrian friendly, and, you know, friendly for everyone?
Yeah. And that the strategy has seemed for a long time through Condon, and I know it also plays out in a lot at the county level, and that is a whole nother can of worms. That's a whole nother. We're never going to move out of the county. Sure would be nice to have more than three commissioners. Sure would be nice if they weren't so often also developers or developers and messing with the urban growth area.
Look at the way we're districting those positions for election. Are we getting true representation from the city? The people who live in the city, are they truly being represented by the three that are on?
Yeah, I'm not saying commission. Yes, they are. I'm saying yes, we should be looking at that.
That's a question
I don't
we should ask. You know, are they being truly represented when, you know, it ends up going countywide in the general and and it's a big county.
It is, yeah. But looking at some of that, and the strategy has seemed to be one that I personally consider kind of old-fashioned and not sustainable, of courting large businesses that already exist to site here for jobs. That seems to be kind of the jobs plan of a lot of business as usual folks, because mm-hmm. it looks like, I think from the surface, I like what you said earlier about thinking long term, because on the surface it looks like easy money to say, oh well, let's bring Target, for example, and it'll bring all these jobs and they can show up and they already exist and we won't have to support them. We'll give them a couple tax breaks to build a certain way and then they'll be here. Same with, you know, Urban Outfitters coming in. I think there's a balance there, but it sounded like earlier that your priority is with local business.
Small local business. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
And how do you think that pans out in terms of, I guess, revenue for the city and also just stability? Do you think that that's a better, obviously, I think the thinking you've showed on those fiscal questions, it seems that that's your conclusion because you've analyzed it and that's what makes sense.
And, you know, studies have research has shown that when you buy and shop locally, the money stays in your local economy 7 times longer than when you go to, say, Walmart or Target, where the money gets pretty quickly sucked right out of our local economy. You know, not to say that they don't have their place and that they do create some jobs, but there needs to be some sort of balance. We should not be I don't understand why Target or Walmart would need a tax break to move here. If they want to move here to make money, you know, they're not going to move here if they don't think they're going to make money and a profit. I don't know. They have plenty of money. They don't need a tax break. So that's my thinking. those should be, you know, reserved for struggling businesses that are going to have a benefit to the community.
Yeah. Would, backing up again, sorry, I tend to jump all over the place.
That's
and
okay.
I apologize to you for that. But you talked about the bridge project, University District, which I think is a great, all of that infrastructure I can already see as someone who lives really close to that area, lives downtown also. I can see the impact that the River Point campus has had on this eastern edge of downtown.
Yes.
I think also in combination with this block that we're currently on, the community building, the Saranac. we're a little,
yeah.
I'm pretty fond of this block.
I'm pretty biased about this block. Yeah.
But it's just seeing the effect that something like that can have. Remembering about, almost 10 years ago, the promises of International District happening in Sprague, and kind of there is good development happening out on Sprague. But it's a bit slow to start, and I think, is that a main focus when you talk about investing in neighborhoods? Is that area
East Sprague is
on your mind?
I've for years on a personal level have wanted to see East Sprague get some renovation and some new energy. I mean, it's a great part of town. It's got a lot of old buildings. I love restoring old buildings. That's part of why I like downtown. I love what they've done here with the Saranac Commons. I'd like to see more of that happening. It's just got a great feel.
So what kinds of programs exist elsewhere or even maybe here that are underutilized that can help people do that? I mean, can we incentivize? Like, is that something within the city?
And actually, so Mayor Condon right now is working with Ben Stucker, you know, about a more equitable approach to development, which I think is interesting timing after the, you know, heat he got on the Walt Worthy deal. But I still support it. It's a good thing. I'm suspicious of the timing. an equitable approach to development and an equitable approach to supporting business. And by equitable, I don't mean equal, like this, the big business gets the same exact tax break as the small business. I mean equitable in that they both have the same opportunity for equal outcomes.
Raising
the
starting ground.
Which may mean that the big business doesn't need a tax break and the small business does. But it should always be looked at as what the true benefit is to the neighborhood and the community as well, since you are using tax revenue mm-hmm. to support that.
Yeah.
Or creating an exemption that stops some money from flowing into the city.
Yeah. So what would you say? I know that politics ends up being a lot of the time, I mean, personal is political, all of that. Mm-hmm. What do you think? And the sub question there is that I think people distrust a lot of elected officials, mm-hmm. Many of which with good reason due to behavior. But what do you think from more of a like values perspective you want to bring to the table?
Keep thinking of servant leadership. I had a great professor, Dr. Scott Finney, who's now a friend of mine. And he gave this great speech on servant leadership, and that's my style, and those are my values. You lead with the people. You bring all the voices to the table, and you come to a solution that works for, that creates the most good for the most. You're not all going to agree on everything, but all of the voices need to be heard that are affected by whatever policy or change is going on. So I think that that's a value. Communities of value, families of value, safety. We never did. Yeah. Public safety was one of my big things.
Yeah. No. And we've got time for that. What do you mean when you say that? And pretty much the biggest, all of the recent mayors in Spokane, 40 years of mayors have been asked and forced to look at police accountability and oversight.
Yeah.
There's some long-standing issues with the department that I think we're pretty much all familiar with, at least on a basic level. What's your vision there on moving forward? I mean, we're in a lot of upheaval right now with how it's all going to look.
Right. With the ombudsman.
Staffing an ombudsman and how the commission's going to work. Yeah.
I may be taking office before that happens. it's been a big issue decades in the community, and there has been some progress. I don't think that progress has come from leadership from Mayor Condon, even though he won on that issue. It's probably the issue he won his election on. Some of the positive things that happened were actually started with Mary Verner, like the Use of Force Commission. So the Use of Force Commission was already put in place under Mary Verner. Mm-hmm. So that is, she gets credit for that. The only thing he did was not blockade. You stop that Use of Force Commission from mm-hmm. existing or blocking their recommendations from moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's good that he didn't, but it didn't come from his leadership. And he sort of takes credit for that. But that's Mary Verner's. So there have been, and the CIT training that's going on, I'm not like your run of the mill police accountability activist, where I also want to see more police hired and I want to see more training as well. And so when I talk about investing in public safety, I do want to bring independent investigative authority while, respecting collective bargaining rights with the guild. But it's a discussion that needs to happen, and it didn't happen under Mayor Condon, despite 69% of the voters calling for an amendment to our city charter in Article 16. You never get more than 70% of the voters approving mm-hmm. anything. That's a loud voice. And for us to still not have independent investigative authority in any way, shape, or form, we haven't even had an ombudsman since January.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have a defunct commission mm-hmm. for various reasons.
It's kind of a triple blow.
It's a big blow.
Mm-hmm.
Rebuilding I think that the community we want to move forward.
Yeah.
There has to be some accountability. There always has mm-hmm. to be accountability. But But they also, you know, we spend there's a lot of money spent on overtime for police and fire. Mm-hmm. And these are our first responders. And when they're tired, you know, they can't do their jobs as well as they can when they're not overworked.
Yeah, that's a scary situation.
So we do need to look at that for the safety of all.
I hope that your interpretation of the word independent is truer to understood. That's my main comment on police oversight.
Yeah.
And the way that that's played out, but I appreciate.
But it was not brought to the collective bargaining table either. Prop mm-hmm. 1 was not brought to the bargaining table. That's a failure of leadership in the mayor's office.
Yeah. Well, and there's an overlap, too. I mean, when you say workers' rights.
Right. I do support that. Yeah. I've never considered the guild to be the problem here. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've seen it to be a failure of leadership in the mayor's office.
Hmm. So
another way I'm somewhat different from some of the other people I work with.
Yeah. What have you, because I think that a lot of, well, I guess a great, people who go into politics, I think, tend to come out of business or out of, sometimes out of organizing.
Mm-hmm.
What are the lessons that you've learned in organizing that you hope, and it sounds like you also have lessons from business. You were talking about mm-hmm. that earlier too, but how do those approaches work together, policy work and organizing work? I mean, you've already talked a little bit about how mm-hmm. it plays out in values, bringing everyone to the table, mm-hmm. amplifying unheard voices,
mm-hmm.
And all of that. How would you want to make, well, yeah, how does that play out? I won't make the question too specific.
That's the one word I think of, relationships. It's relationships in business, relationships in community organizing, relationships when you're talking about policy and leading and representing a whole city of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's relationships. You need to have respectful dialogue with folks. You need to listen to folks. You don't always have to agree. You won't always agree. And relationships. Relationships are key to everything in life, and it can be applied everywhere. And building relationships has been my favorite part of organizing, and I hope it'll be my favorite part of holding elected office, too, because I certainly plan to be out there building relationships with mm-hmm. all of the city employees, more of the residents of Spokane than is currently being done.
Hmm. Good. And if you're just joining us right at the close here, talking with Char Lichty, running for mayor in Spokane, Washington, I think we've got, if we want to let Jen and Jerry get in here to do FES, we've got about 3.5 minutes. What else do you want people to know in closing? And how can they find out more about your campaign?
My website, votecharlichty.com. Has a lot of information, and you can contact me through there. I'm also on Facebook, People to Elect Char Lichty /Spokane Mayor, and I'm on Twitter @VoteCharLichty. Check out any of those. Contact me with any questions. I'll be happy to answer them. Let me know about issues you have, and I'll look into them.
Good. And how... This is a, never mind, that's a whole different can of worms. And I always do that. I always get to the very end of a show and I think, oh, I can fit in this one more question. Right. And it's like, what's your ultimate 10-step plan for saving the world, Char? You have 1 minute and it's just not fair. So, I'll give you a fluffy question that's still good. What's your favorite thing about Spokane, because you've been here a long time,
right?
What's your favorite thing about Spokane that you hope to preserve and enhance through this?
The river. The river's my favorite.
It's a good
one.
I
love the water, the river, but I mean, it really is more than just the river and how it runs through downtown. It really is all of what Spokane truly is, near nature, near perfect. And you can think that that's a corny tagline or not, but it really is true. Mm-hmm. And I love that about Spokane.
Mm-hmm. It's not grammatically correct, but it's true.
Correct.
But that's very Spokane in its own
it
way,
is.
Too.
Yeah.
We're
it
like,
is.
You know, we don't need your stinking adverbs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, well, so again, and in case people are not reading the notes on the podcast, listening to it now, they're wondering how to spell your name for your website.
Yes. Shar, S-H-A-R, Lichty, L-I-C-H-T-Y.
All right. So it's, and then it's vote.
VoteSharLichty.com.
Okay. So I will post that link on the podcast. If you're just catching the end of the show and you want to hear the beginning, that'll be posted this weekend. KYRS.org/shows/praxis has all those links. You can find the full archive at praxisradio509.podomatic.com. And you can follow the show at facebook.com/praxisradio, where I will also link to Shar's page. Unless that turns out to be illegal. But I don't believe it is, because we have equal access for all political right. candidates. So, David Condon, if you're listening, you know.
You'll link his, too.
I can. Yeah, sure. That's what the requirement is. So, thanks for listening. Thanks for joining me, Shar.
Thank you.
I'm really excited for you in this next chapter as it unfolds.
It's a big adventure.
Mm-hmm. And congratulations on your new
grandbaby, Juniper Pearl.
Welcome. Welcome to Earth, Juniper Pearl. And thank you all for listening. FYES is up next with Jen and Jerry, talking feminism with all of you. I'll be back next week talking with Terry Kosky of NAMI about mental illness, destigmatizing mental illness, and moving forward on that in our world. Thanks for listening. Be back next week. You're listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM.